Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Afterlife Voicemail System. If you're trying to reach heaven, please press 1. For Yahweh, press 2. For Muhammad, press 3. If you're trying to reach Nirvana, you're going about it all wrong, so we certainly can't help you. If you'd just like to leave a message, wait for the beep.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Collective. I have with me special guest Troy. He has a YouTube channel called One Lone Goat, and he has really exceptional videos. So I post a link in the information to his YouTube page. So everyone go there, watch his videos. But tonight we're going to have him on and talk about losing your religion. So, Troy, I'll give you the mic. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, giving me the chance to kind of plug my channel a little bit, but also discuss the process that people go through whenever they start to doubt the religions they were raised in, and possibly even go further and decide to leave that religion, or whether that means just dropping out of religion entirely or moving to a different religion. It's a difficult process. It can be tricky for lots of folks. Kind of a looking into that, how that process affects people is kind of a passion that I have right now. So yeah, thanks for having me on and letting me discuss that kind of stuff with you.
Oh, no problem. I know, me personally, I was raised by a woman who, she was a hippie. So my religious influence was like a sprinkling, it's probably a lot different for people that are actually raised a certain religion, and it is a very predominant, a thing they deal with on a daily basis. So, I don't have any experience in that, but maybe you do, so maybe you can kind of walk people through the experience of, questioning their religion and things of that sort.
Yeah, sure. Personally, for me, I was raised in the Mormon church. And if you know anything about the Mormon faith, it's a very, very tight-knit community. When you're a Mormon, that's your life, especially when you're growing up, because you have church on Sunday, obviously, and then once every Wednesday night, there's, Boy Scouts if you're a male, and then there is the Young Women's Program if you're a female, and then once you get into high school, there is the seminary program. So it's every day before school, so basically 6 days a week, sometimes twice a day, you're there at the church. Your friends are Mormon. Your family's Mormon. You're a part of that community for all the time. That's what you do. Being Mormon is your life. So breaking away from that, and, when you start to have doubts, like the scariest thing is, wow, if I don't believe this anymore, what's going to happen to my friends? What's my relationship with my family going to be like? And that fear keeps a lot of people, for lack of a better term, closeted. They become closeted doubters and maybe even evolve into a closeted agnostic, closeted atheist. And living that way can be very, very difficult. So a lot of people face a tough choice. Do you stay closeted for fear of, losing that support structure in your life? Or are you more open about what you think and face the extremely real possibility of losing friends and having that disconnect with your family? Luckily for me, many of my family members were very, very open. They were like, everybody has to figure out their own way. You're trying to figure out yours. You might come back to the faith someday. You might not. Whatever. As far as friends go, most of them, no longer any contact at all. There's occasional contact with a few, but you know, losing that community was it was difficult. It was extremely difficult. Being raised Mormon, you know, Mormon kids are different than the rest of the kids on the schoolyard. You know, they're so when your friends aren't that anymore, you have to try to adjust to being one of the regular kids who are out in the world. They're part of the outside world. It can be tricky. So it was when I left, you know, I started, you know, openly saying, oh, I'm an atheist to the, you know, people, my peers in school, when they would ask me about what religion I was, I was like, oh, I'm an atheist. I got a lot of negative feedback on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for up until a couple of years ago, I was very, very just closed-mouthed about it. I didn't advertise it. While I always had an interest in religion, so I could, a lot of times, I'll be honest, I would lie. I'd be like, oh, I would say something non-threatening. I'm a Buddhist, because I knew a lot about Buddhism, because I studied it, and I thought it was interesting. And it wasn't until I realized that there was a large community out there of people who were like me. They're like, oh, you know, I don't believe this, that I was able to be like, oh, okay, so I'm not alone. I can actually come out and talk about this stuff. And it's kind of what inspired me to start the YouTube channel and start talking about some of this stuff, was because I knew that there were people out there like me who felt isolated because of either their lack of belief or the loss of the community because they changed their belief to another belief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what it's like to feel isolated. So I was like, hey, I'll give it a go. Yeah, see if how people respond, how people react.
My question, one of my questions is like, when did you, because we all have that, you know, I guess I would be considered raised Baptist. I was baptized Baptist. But from an early age, I always questioned religion. I was pretty vocal. Like, you know, at a young age, I was questioning if we did go to church, certain things about church. You know, I never understood why, you know, people were condemned for doing silly things like, you know, listening to rock music. You know, like, I never understood that. Like, why does that person just go into hell because they listen to rock music, you know? What was your first time that you actually doubted, you know, the faith? I mean, you doubted that religion. Like, what was the first doubt that you had that you remember?
That is a question to answer. I think it was more of a very gradual process, like little alarms that would go off in the back of my head when I would hear something. For me, growing up in Mormonism, you know, there's a lot of talk about the Book of Mormon. For listeners who don't know, the Book of Mormon is basically the story of a group of Hebrews who built a cool boat and sailed across the Atlantic Ocean and eventually landed somewhere in Central America. And they started a whole civilization. And then that civilization, you know, there are all kinds of crazy stuff that happened, but it eventually became the Native Americans. And people would talk about the Native Americans being descended from the Hebrews, but then I like, just from, you know, watching the History Channel and PBS, you know, I knew a little bit about, you know, Hebrew culture and Native American culture, and there's not very much resemblance there. So that was, I was like, well, if they were once Hebrews, then how come there's, like, no resemblance whatsoever? And I remember hearing in my early teens about actually genetic research that had been done that showed absolutely no link between Native Americans and Hebrews. So that's like ding, 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 ding. That was a
yeah.
a big alarm that went off. But but more than just specifics of the Mormon religion, it was a lot of it was just to me. Most of it just seemed like making assumptions about the nature of God and that weren't verifiable at all. To me, it all seemed like, man, this is just guesswork. This seems like some stuff that a lot of people wrote down, just trying to describe how they think that things might happen after you die, or what they think God's opinion might be on something. Because I couldn't really imagine any way that anybody could know any of this. And people would say, like, oh, mm-hmm. we can pray and God will tell us. Like, well, I didn't say it out loud in church, but I've been praying since I was a little kid, and honestly I've never heard a damn thing. I people will talk about this warm feeling they got in their chest. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I can get that watching the cool movie, you know? That's
yeah.
It was a combination of a lot of things, really, to answer your question. I didn't have a specific moment where I was like, oh, well, this causes me to doubt. It was tiny, itty-bitty things that built up for years, from early childhood till my late teens when I decided to leave the church.
And I think you're incredibly lucky that your family was so open-minded to that because, and this, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but especially in the Mormon church, you know, like you said, there were, you know, it's tight-knit, close group.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of times when people actually leave the church that the family will tell them they're dead to them. And, you know, there's a clear, you know, wall that goes up from that. So I think you're incredibly lucky to at least have your family, you know, support you and, you know, oh, you'll come back or you'll make your own way. At least that's lucky for you, because I know there's a lot of people in a lot of religions that don't get that, you know, from their family.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I feel very, very lucky. My mother especially, while she is devout and she teaches the Sunday school classes every Sunday, you know, but she married a man who wasn't a Mormon, and she spends her life around all sorts of people every day, and she understands that there are good people of all walks of life. You know, she didn't think less of me because of it. But there are many, many people who aren't in that situation at all. I was reading a blog post yesterday by a fellow who goes by he writes for The Friendly Atheist, Hemant Mehta, and he was talking about a young girl who is 19, I believe, and she started expressing doubts and eventually came out as a non-believer, and her father was like, all right, well, you have 11 days to pack your things and move out. And yeah, that sucked for her, you know. And then there's the Jehovah's Witnesses. They have a process called shunning, where if you do something against the faith, if you express doubts, if you say you're a non-believer, your family cuts you off completely. And
mm-hmm.
if they contact you, if I am correctly informed, if even if they contact you, they face consequences within the church, you know. So it can be really devastating for you and your family, that decision to leave. That's what keeps a lot of people in, I think. I think that there are probably way more people than a lot of folks realize that are sitting in the pews every Sunday who are there simply because they feel that community pressure. They they feel that pressure by, you know, their loved ones and their friends to stick around. You know, which is a shame if you can't be open about what you think about, you know, the nature of the universe, then, you know, that sucks. It's got to be a really soul-crushing way to live.
Yeah. My friend in high school who was Pentecostal, her family were real strict. You know, she had to wear, she had to have the long hair and the skirt. She was never allowed to wear pants and things of that sort. And, you know, in high school, everyone tries to find themselves, you know, everyone's going through that process. And she, on a whim, cut her hair. And she, now I'm talking, she cut maybe 2 inches off her hair. Okay.
Right.
This girl's hair was past her, but she decided, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm going to take 2 inches off, you know. And her dad literally, actually, she had to move in with her aunt, like, out of state, because her dad went off on her for cutting her hair.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I've experienced, I mean, it tore her apart. I mean, her dad pretty much shunned her, and she had to go live with her aunt, and she wasn't, at that point, welcome back in the family or anything. Cause, just because she decided, you know, it didn't have anything to do with questioning her faith. She just wanted to cut her hair. And, yeah, I've definitely experienced, you know, friends having that kind of issues, and it sucks. It sucks that we live in a world that people, you know, do that to each other, especially family, you know.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. And I think that might be, in part, one of the things that forces people to kind of reconsider their views on their faith these days, is because, you know, it's not 1820 anymore. There are all sorts of different people with a lot of looks and a lot of ways of life around, and it's really hard to go through life and not be exposed to that and not attempt to kind of fit more into, you know, a more average, everyday way of life. And when your religious beliefs prevent you from doing that and kind of set you apart as an outcast, it, you know, it stings. It doesn't feel good to be separate from everyone else, especially if you have a choice in the matter and you start reexamining what you think. Like, oh, what's actually keeping me from, you know, cutting my hair a little bit or wearing jeans, you know?
How did you cope? Like, was there any resources out there, even like on the internet, where you could go, like a forum, where you can kind of go and seek people that are perhaps still transitioning, you know, like yourself? Is there anything out there like that, or is it more of a lone ranger sort of thing where you have to kind of go process it by yourself?
Well, for me, when I was going through this, I didn't know about anything, but there is actually an organization called Recovering from Religion, recoveringfromreligion.org. They have tons of resources. It's whether you're just somebody who's starting to doubt their faith and you're trying to process that, or you're already out as an atheist, or you're just switching from one faith to another. It doesn't matter what your situation is, really. They have resources to help you out. They're a great organization. They have hotlines that you can call. A lot of places actually have monthly meetup groups where you can go, and it's very, very discreet. You go and you sit with other people who are in a similar situation. Nobody's trying to convert or deconvert anybody. It's just a bunch of folks getting together being like, oh man, I'm stressed right now because I'm feeling this, you know, volunteer programs and things like that. It's a great organization. Anybody out there listening who is going through these kind of troubles, you might want to look into these guys.
That's good. You know, have somewhere for someone to go, because it, like you said, it can be devastating, because if like my friend, I mean, she pretty much got kicked out of her family. So where does someone go? You know, it just got to be phenomenally upsetting, you know. And I'm sure, I don't know if there's any studies, but I wonder if there's a link, you know, how many people that have, you know, trans, you know, either lose their religion or go to, how many people commit suicide based on, you know, just having to go through all that stress of rejection and feeling lost, because that is exactly a crucial point in which someone is feeling completely lost, you know. So I wonder, you know, what the ratio is for people who actually, you know, see
that
in when it comes to that.
That would be very, very interesting to see some data on that. I'm not sure if a study like that exists. I'm definitely going to have to look into that one. You know, and depending on where you are in the country and what religion that you are, if you decide to leave, sometimes there are just kind of underground networks of people. I know in Utah there's kind of a loose-knit group that refer to themselves as like post-Mormons. And it's basically just like, here, you crash on this couch for a while. Oh, you need groceries? Here, I'll help you out with that. For people who no longer have access to that Mormon support structure, they mm-hmm. kind of all help each other out. So that's cool there. Not sure. Like, most of my experience is with specifically leaving the Mormon church. So as far as other religions go, I'm not sure, but hopefully there are other networks out there like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there has to be, Christian-wise, you know, Catholic, I don't know. yeah, it's very interesting. I know I've always doubted religion, so I don't think I didn't have the experience of where I was believed 100% or had a lot of faith. So I can just imagine, you know, how somebody would feel if they started to doubt and then they completely wanted to separate themselves from that religion. So you're an atheist. Is that how you define yourself or now, or is that changed? Okay. So how do you go from, now, did you ever believe in God? Did you believe it? Did you have the faith, or were you always internally questioning if there is a God?
Yeah, I think when I was very, very, very young, I might have had like this vague idea, because I remember one of the first times somebody explained God to me. You know, I don't know how old I was, but I was quite young, you know, preschool young. And somebody was like, "Little Troy, do you know about God?" And I was just like, "I don't know." And they were like, "Well, he's basically like everybody's father, and he, you know, he made the world for us, and he wants all sorts of good things for you." And, you know, so they explained to me this really like nice, happy version of God. And, you know, so I was like, "Oh, okay." I think I had like this vague idea of what God was in my head, but I didn't really think about it a lot. I just kind of went through my day-to-day life. I was like, "Hey, sweet, kicking balls is fun, and I really like my wagon." And even at a young age, before I could really internally conceptualize, you know, doubts in what I believed, there was this feeling of kind of faking it to make it, where I was just, okay, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to listen to the Sunday school teacher. Wasn't until I got a little bit older where I was like, "Is this bullshit?" Like,
Now, have you ever had a religious experience, as they call them? Have you ever felt the Holy Ghost or anything of that sort?
You know, I did have one experience that I would consider like a religious experience, and it didn't have anything at all to do with Christianity. It was after I had left the church, and while I considered myself a non-believer, I was like, well, I better check out everything else first. Just dabble a little bit, stick my fingers in a little bit of everything I could find and see if there's something out there that maybe fits my ideas a little bit better. And that went all the way, you know, I've done a little bit of that because, you know, if there's something out there worth believing, I want to know about it. You know, I don't want to be wrong. I like being right. Being right's great. So it was actually a friend of mine who was into some more occult stuff. I was extremely intoxicated, and there was a ceremony, and oh, man, I felt that shit. I felt it. But at the moment, I was like, wow, this stuff is intense. But then the next day, I was like, no, I was really drunk. It was 20 degrees outside. I wasn't wearing a coat. I had consumed far too much alcohol, and peer pressure is one hell of a thing. You know, the human mind is capable of some interesting stuff, you know, and you know, when people use those to me, you know, I'm you know, not trying to bust anybody's bubble here, but for me, when people say, well, I know what I believe is true because I've had this religious experience and it was so intense and it was so amazing and it was so grand, they, you know, it has to be true. Well, you know, there are people of every faith who have had that same feeling as you, you know, how, and they swear that what they believe is true. How do I tell the difference between you and that guy?
Now, as an atheist, I'm going to put you on the spot here for a minute. How do you personally define yourself as an atheist? Like, do you have a set of, because, you know, a lot of people, when you say I'm an atheist, they believe that you believe in absolutely nothing. You know, like, there is a null and void, you know, but that's not necessarily always true. You know, there are atheists out there who have, I guess, maybe a side card of spirituality, or they go in the other path of, like, you know, scientific realms of belief. So do you have, like, what is your personal definition of being an atheist? What does that mean to you? I guess that's my question.
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. You know, a lot of people assume, you know, they hear atheists and they assume, I believe there is no God. But most of the atheists I know, and I would include myself in this group, say that they lack a belief in God. And I know that's a really subtle difference in language there, but it's a big difference conceptually. To say I believe there is no God is saying that, like, I'm convinced. I'm convinced that there is nothing. To say I lack a belief in God is basically like saying, like, it, like, I haven't seen proof. So, like, until somebody can demonstrate to me that this is the case, then I can't really form an opinion on it, especially when there's a lot of evidence to counter that.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as spirituality goes, that's another thing for me where, like, hard to explain, really, because there are lots of people who have crazy out there experiences, and there are a lot of people who have these very, very strong beliefs, and I can't say that any of them are 100% for certain wrong. There's no way for me to say that. So I can't say definitely, okay, there's no such thing as anything supernatural. I personally lack a belief in the supernatural because I've never had any conclusive evidence handed to me. You know, it's never really hit me in the face like that. there's a gentleman named James Randi who runs an organization, and for years he has had $1 million sitting in the bank as prize money, and it's there, you can check on it. And he said, if anybody comes to me with proof of anything supernatural, $1 million is yours. It's yours. Mm-hmm. No questions asked. As long as it can be reasonably tested, you know, tested under reasonable experimental conditions and proved to be actually supernatural, then $1 million is yours. And nobody to this day has been able to collect this prize. You know, there have been a lot of people who've tried, a lot of people who have started to try, but then when they realized, oh, wait, no, like, I have to sit in this room and there's going to be actual, you know, measurements being done.
Yeah.
Then they back out. You know, so for me, I'm basically like, my position is, while I can't prove that all this stuff doesn't exist, I find it very unlikely.
That affect any kind of, you know, are you, I mean, because religion, for the most part, is what I call there to help you die. You know, it's there to comfort you about the other side. That's basically the main premise, is that, well, they want you to be good and do good things. And then when you die, there is somewhere else afterwards. So, you know, your views, how do you have any fears about death? I mean, do you believe there's anything afterwards, or do you think it's just, you know, one big, nice, blank sleep afterwards? Which, that sounds great, too. But, you know, does it affect your, any kind of trepidations you have towards dying? Or, I mean...
Mortality is a scary thing. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, no, I don't believe in any of that nonsense, and death doesn't scare me at all. No, like, death is scary.
Yeah.
I don't want to die. Dying, you know, that's this terrifying concept. For me, like, I personally don't believe that anything really happens. You know, for me, it's mostly just like, yeah, okay, all the electrochemical signals going on in your brain, they shut down, your organs shut down. From there, your body starts to decompose. You become one with the dirt rather than the universe. I guess the dirt's part of the universe, so that works out. but at the same time, nobody knows what happens. So I'm perfectly willing to say that I could be completely wrong. And I think that separates me from a lot of the religious folks that I know, because, you know, they tell me, well, you sure are confident in yourself saying that you don't believe in God, you know. No, I'm completely willing to say that I could be wrong. You know, it's typically you guys who say that you're damn sure that what you believe is true. I could be wrong about all of it. I'm open to that completely.
Well, you know, I'm definitely always about people being open-minded, regardless if you're from looking at it as, you know, you're religious and you believe in an afterlife and God, or you don't, because we don't know, you know. Wasn't it Socrates said, the wisest person, you know, we know nothing, you know. As much as we know nothing. So,
yeah
that's definitely a good way to look at things. We got to wrap up the show because we're already over time. But definitely interesting, and I appreciate you coming on. And your videos are awesome, and they make me laugh. I would love for you to come back on maybe sometime. If I can get someone of maybe a religious on and have a little bit of a debate or something, that'd be great.
I'd be definitely willing to do that.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody, thanks for listening tonight. I'm sorry it's only 30 minutes, so it's so quick, but definitely check out Troy's YouTube channel. He's got some really good videos, and once again, thank you for coming on, and I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate you letting me come on to talk. It was a good time.
No problem, and hopefully we'll see you on again. I'm going to try to get that going. I'd love to have a debate with some people who believe opposite of what I or what you believe. I'd love someone to come on and take us on.
Sounds good.
But all right, thanks everybody. Thanks for listening in. Once again, this is The Collective. Everyone have a good night. Bye.
Right, bye, everybody.